On TanTalkNetwork.com, Clearwater, Florida. We are excited to be with you today. Wow. If you didn't just hear Truth Talk, the show right before us, you need to go back and catch it on podcast, because that was a powerful word, and I am in agreement with that word, that God is doing some immediately stuff right now. And, you know, for those of us out there that have been waiting for a long time, it seems, for God to move in different situations in our lives, to hear our dear brothers and sisters talking about God is in the process of getting some of the stuff done he's been promising for a long time. Dr. Angel, you and I were sitting there in this studio listening and receiving. And I think so often we put off the faith, I guess, necessary to move ourselves forward, because we think we get satisfied with where we are. We get complacent. I talked about that this morning a little bit in my sermon at Beacon. We just get so used to things the way they are. And when God says, look, I'm about to move you into a new season, a new time in me, it's almost like we don't even know if we really want that, because we're comfortable right where we are. Dr. Angel, talk to me about that.
You know, so often we miss where God's trying to move us because we don't want to change. We don't want to go in a new direction. You're right. We do get comfortable. We know where we are in this moment, and there's that sense of comfort and predictability. And God says, I am doing a new thing, and I am moving you here.
Yes. Woo! And he is. I mean, I just know he is. And that just really boosted my, I don't know, it just boosted my faith level just then. I just so agree with that prophetic word that it is time for restoration, because so often we have been lied to. And it really goes along with our show today, which is based on John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we're going to really be talking about that today. And we're going to be talking about truth. And truth is sometimes hard to receive because we are comfortable with the way it's been, and we don't want to hear something new. Talk to me, Angel.
You're right. You're right there. So we do. We find ourselves sitting in that comfort zone, and, you know, we say we want God to do these great things for us, but when he is paving that way and opening those doors, we don't want to take the steps forward. We hold back, and we try to put God back in a box, and we can't do that. We have got to walk in faith. When he has opened that door, he is preparing us to walk in a new direction and to fulfill the purpose that he laid out before the foundation of the world for our lives.
And his timing's perfect timing.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think that we can get so used to things taking a long time with God, you know, long time to fulfill. God's working this in my life, and oh, he's been doing this for 10 years now, you know, and what I just heard just now through those dear people of God who are friends of ours, I heard the word, expect it to be immediately. Expect that God is in the process of restoring. Dear friend, whoever you are and wherever you are, whether you're listening live or later on podcast, it's time to receive what God is doing and not just talk about the fact that God's doing a new thing. I mean, that is a kind of a cliche in a way that we say in our religious circles sometimes. I'm in a new season, God's doing a new thing. Let's translate to that action. What does that mean? Are you ready for God to say, all right, I'm going to move you into this, or I'm going to cause you to see this situation through a different lens? It's like when I finally got bifocals, perfect eyes till the age 40, and then I realized my Bible, I had to hold my arm out a lot farther to be able to preach, and so I go to the eye doctor, oh my gosh, you need bifocals. But I've had perfect eyes. Well, you know, you turned 40, didn't you? Yeah. Well, that happened. That's what happened. It's called presbyopia. It has nothing to do about being a Presbyterian or a Methodist or anything like that. But you know, at that point, I had to put on glasses on my face or get contacts. And I chose glasses and I still wear them. And that's fine. But when I take them off, I can see things kind of fuzzy. You know, I have to wear those and have my focus. Talk to me, Angel, and then we'll get to Nan here soon. She's getting set up. Go ahead.
Well, you know, and those are the tools that give us the vision that we need to have in the natural. But, you know, God's doing that for us in the supernatural,
yes,
in the spiritual realm.
And yes, he is.
Are we going to use the tools that God has given us? Are we going to accept the new direction he is moving us? Because more than likely, it's way out of our comfort zone, because that's how God works.
I so agree. And I think sometimes we say the little phrase, truth hurts, mm-hmm. You know? Well, truth challenges is what it does, you know? And it kind of motivates us to get out of our comfort zone. Some of you out there may be saying, Pastor, you seem fired up. I have been fired up all morning, all day like this. And it's hearing them speak that caused me to realize I'm this is what God's saying all day long today. He is talking about stepping out in truth, being willing to have God rock your boat, being willing to have an immediate answer, not a someday in the sudden by and by, but now reaching out in faith. And what does God want you to believe for today, dear one? Is it the healing of your body? If you're one of these that has chronic issues, is it the healing of your body? Is it the healing of your emotions? Is it healing of bad memories? What is it that God needs to do fresh in you today? And today we're talking about truth versus lies, because the devil is so good at lying to us. In fact, Jesus in John chapter 8 calls him the father of lies. He's a liar and the father of lies. And I tell you, it's extremely irritating. What I just saw in my mind was a situation that happened to me once, staying in some relatives' homes and staying in a home, and in the basement, they had an infestation that happened while I was there. It didn't happen the first day or two I was there, but after I was there through 5 or 6 days, and on the fourth or fifth day, I suddenly noticed there's flies in the bathroom, okay, and in this little dressing area. And they were huge flies, and they multiplied, and there was tons of them. And you talk about irritating, and I'm thinking about that metaphor right now, because a lie can get so big in our minds, and we can buy it, and it spreads, and it seems to have babies. And suddenly, talk to me, Angel, before I do this first song, then we'll go to Nan pretty soon.
Oh, the lies can absolutely take over. And whatever those lies are the negative messages that we've heard from other people throughout our lives. Those lies might be some experiences. Those lies might be coming from all over the place. And we need to not listen to the lies. We need to say, yes, this is a lie, and I am not receiving it. I know this is not the truth in my life. And the only way we know truth is to get into truth, have relationship with truth.
Amen. We're going to talk about relationship with truth. And we're going to start this show today by a wonderful song by Casting Crowns, The Voice of Truth. It's an older song, but boy, does it fit in right here.
Oh, what I would do to have the kind of faith it takes to climb out of this boat and then onto the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown, where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. The waves, they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win, you never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to live. Strength it takes to stand before a giant with just a sling and a stone, surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win, you'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth, this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth.
But the stone was just the right size to put the giant on the ground. And the waves, they don't seem so high. On top of them looking down, I'll soar with the wings of evil.
Amen. The voice of truth. You're listening to Living the Good Life today from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister along with Dr. Angel Fazzoni and Nan Watson today, two of our radio team members. Joining me as I usually have to every Sunday, and it's a joy to be with you, the voice of truth. We're going to talk about truth versus lies today. We're going to talk about Jesus calling himself in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's who he is. And we're going to talk about that a lot. And we're going to talk about the importance of truth. Truth is extremely important in our lives. And we live in a culture right now where there's so much permission given people to lie, to not tell the truth. And so we're going to talk about that in just a moment. Let's begin with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be on the air globally. We thank you, Lord, for all those listeners who are listening live and who will listen later at some point. We thank you, Lord, because your word, the word of God, is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. That's what it says in Hebrews about your word. And Lord, this show is all about your word and the restoration that comes into each of our lives as we live in the word of God, as we understand that we need it, as we drink from the word, as we eat from the word. And Lord, today we just expect a great meal of truth from your word and practical insights that will help us live better each day and closer to you. So Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. You get the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Nan, we live in a society where it's easy to believe lies. Sometimes they're more convenient. Sometimes they seem better to listen to than truth. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean, Pastor.
Talk to us.
Well, no one likes it to be lied to. You know, what if we would tell our children, I'd rather you tell me the truth than a lie, you know, because we want to hear the truth from them. And even if the truth is maybe something that we don't want to hear, we'd rather hear the truth than to hear the lie, because in those kind of situations, the truth normally comes a light anyway.
It does usually, doesn't it? Truth wins out a lot of times. Right. And, you know, as you're saying that, it reminds me of John 1:14. It says, the Word, meaning Jesus, became flesh, because we know he did over 2,000 years ago. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us full, and he was full of grace and truth, it says. And grace is that a power, that empowering presence of God in our lives that causes us to rise above those things we just can't seem to figure out. And yet, God, basically, God's cutting us slack and teaching us that his love and his grace and his mercy in our lives are present. They are real. And that we don't have to believe the lies of the enemy that we're worthless, or, you know, we mess up so much that God doesn't love us. Talk to us about that, Nan, because I think that's easy. People get so discouraged, I think, because the influence that people around us, the devil, circumstances, our society, tells us we're not as cute as we should be, or as fun or attractive, or whatever the case may be. Lies are ever present.
They are ever present, and they're very powerful.
They are.
You know, unfortunately, they're very powerful. You know, if you don't believe in yourself, then, you know, and who is influencing you not to believe in yourself? Well, it's Satan's job,
really.
You know, and at times I feel that if people believe the lies of whatever their circumstances are, they're losing ground in whatever they're doing. They're feeling less than. We've talked about that before.
Absolutely.
They're feeling less than, and you know, the things that maybe God wants them to have or to do for him, they're paralyzed by the fear of the lie that was told to them.
Exactly. Good point. And what we see in this series we've been in for the last several weeks, and if you want to catch up with the series, go to tantalknetwork.com that we're on right now, and go to podcasts and go down to the name of this show, which is Living the Good Life. And you can catch up on some of these. But the series has been Jesus Is. And we're filling in the blank with the seven I Am statements that Jesus said about himself as he walked this earth. We've already done. Jesus said that I am the bread of life. That was in John 6:35. Then we went on to the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. We did a whole show on that, John 8:12. Then we did a whole show on Jesus said, I'm the door, I'm the gate. This is how you get to the Father, through Jesus. That's in John 10. And in John 10 also, the fourth one was Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. And he's the one that carries us and picks us up and comforts us and holds us and takes care of us. Did a whole show on the good shepherd. Last week it was John 11:25, where Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, which, praise God, we have for a forever home that we are going to go to. Today we're on number six. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he also said here in John 14, nobody comes to the Father but through me. In other words, we've got to understand the role that Jesus plays in the deity, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Angel, I think there's a lot of people who just don't understand that Jesus wants to be personal to them, wants to be a part of their daily lives, not just somebody they've heard about or somebody or the name they say when they're cussing, you know?
I hear you, and you're right. I think that itself is such a huge obstacle for people to overcome, because they just, they struggle to accept this is a personal,
yes,
ongoing relationship,
right,
with,
yes,
him. This,
yes,
is not, we aren't, we don't worship a dead God.
No.
We don't worship, you know, we worship a living, risen Christ.
Amen.
Who wants to love and dwell within us.
And that makes him unique to all the people that have claimed that they were gods through the years, down through the centuries, because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, the living Christ. He is still alive forevermore, which, and Jesus says right here, well, let's just start John 14, verse 1, don't let this throw you, he says to Peter, because Peter says, I'm going to follow you anywhere you go. This is in John 13, right at the end. He said, I'll lay my life down for you. And a lot of us have good intentions. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to be everything God wants me to be. And then the first temptation comes, or the lies of the enemy start coming at us, and we get discouraged and we just fall off the apple cart, or whatever you want to call it. And Peter, Jesus says, really? In verse 38 of John chapter 13, Jesus said, really, you're going to do that, Peter? You'll lay down your life for me? And then the next sentence, the second word, is the word truth. And Jesus says, the truth is that before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. And we know that happened. And just a few days from when Jesus spoke this, that happened. And Peter did deny Jesus three times. And the number three is very important in the scripture. It's talking about the completeness of God. It's talking about Father, Son, Holy Spirit, which we're going to talk about. And Jesus begins to say, Peter, yeah, I know those are your intentions. But the truth is, you're not going to live up to those intentions. Talk to me about that, Nan, because so many times we have great intentions and then we don't follow through. But God knows us exactly the way we are, doesn't he?
Yes. I mean, I can think back at times in my life that I've had good intentions. And I wanted to do this or this or help this person or do whatever. And I wound up sometimes falling short of that. And not moving forward. It was a great idea. It was a fantastic idea. Would help them if I helped them in this way. But then you kind of get caught up with life. You get caught up with whatever's happening. And you don't fulfill that. You don't do it.
And then the devil uses that, turns that.
Oh, yes.
And he uses that and condemns us and turns it around. In Romans 8:1, Paul says, there is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And when you stay united to that vine, to Jesus, and you really stay in the word and whatever, you realize, yeah, I failed. Okay, God, I come to you. I failed in this. I made this commitment and I didn't follow through. And Lord, please forgive me. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Angel, it's so easy to let those shortcomings and sins pile up. Until guilt, shame, that kind of stuff just takes over our thought process, you know? Because we know we failed.
Yes.
You know?
You know, and the thing is, we're human.
We
and
are.
We are not perfection. That's why we need perfection. And we are going to make mistakes and we are going to fail and we're going to get distracted. And, you know, so oftentimes we start strong. We start the race strong. Yes, I'm going to do this for you, Lord. Yes, I lay down my life. And then he calls us over here or there's an obstacle over here. And then we're like, yeah, was that really God?
Right.
Because we just somehow believe everything's supposed to be perfect when God calls us somewhere. And that's not how we grow. And that's not how our faith grows.
Interesting point. Now put on your Dr. Angel hat, PhD, licensed mental health counselor. What happens when we make commitments and we make, I'm going to lose this amount of weight or I'm going to, you know, do this and this, I'm gonna make this change in my life, whatever, and we don't follow through. What happens to us psychologically and emotionally?
Emotionally, we start feeling depressed. We get down on ourselves and we give up. We feel shame. And we walk through those really negative emotions and they become toxic to our systems and our bodies. And any system of us, if our emotional health is taking a hit, it's gonna affect our spiritual health our physical health.
And, you know, so often we find people that are at one point, yes, I want to be everything God wants me to be. Yes, I'm going to read my Bible. Yes, I'm going to get more serious about my spiritual life. Or I'm going to go to AA and get help. Or I'm going to go to this group or that group. and then they don't follow through. And then what happens, Nan? As Angel is saying, how does that shame or that feeling bad about your lack of follow through, how does it affect you, really? I mean,
it really messes you up.
It does.
You know, what came to mind when Angel was speaking, I was in counseling, and I decided there was these things I was going to do every day.
Right.
And I was going to read the Bible. I was going to spend time in prayer, spend time in praise, several other things. And I made myself a chart.
Yeah.
And you remember.
Yeah.
And I was going to put a certain amount of time each day into each item. And I was compartmentalizing them. And I was trying to be so organized with them. And I didn't do them like that.
Right.
And I felt disappointment in myself because I didn't accomplish the task I had set, which really was not maybe the wisest thing to have done.
Maybe you set the bar a little high.
I seem to do that.
But when that happens, and we do set those standards and we do set those expectations of ourselves, and then when we don't follow through, it's been my experience that that's where guilt and shame and things that Dr. Angel was just talking about take over. And then it's harder for us to get started again because, you know, those resolutions or those good ideas or those commitments, we failed.
Mm-hmm.
And the devil loves to remind us of our failures.
He's very good about that.
Yeah. So, Angel, how does all this work into this whole thing of Jesus saying, well, the truth is you're really going to deny me three times, Peter, before the cock crows, to, you know, that it's going to happen right away here in the next few hours. You're going to deny me. And, oh, you know, you can just feel Peter going, there's no way I'm going to deny you, you know.
I hear you. And that's the thing that's so cool. I wrote in my Bible where that says that Jesus knows our motives and everything inside of us, and he loves us and calls us to his purpose for us, even though we still are human.
Absolutely.
And that's so amazing because he does not call us to be perfect.
No.
And he calls us to lay our life down to him and to humble ourselves. And that's hard to do.
It is.
It really is hard to do.
This is where faith comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, God, I choose to believe that I can't do this in my own strength. My mother's favorite verse, and I found it all through her Bible, different places she had written it, and I have it now on a big piece of wood above in my office up on the wall. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13. Because honestly, people, in our own strength, we're not going to be, quote unquote, good enough for some of the standards we place upon ourselves. Or we're not going to be good enough is just not the answer. I guess it's productive enough. I think that's more of a thing I'm trying to say. We're not going to produce as much as we want to produce, you know, spiritually. And yet God accepts us right where we are. When he sent the 70, he sent the 12. Then he sent the 70. He sent them out and he said, go, you know, and do these things, heal the sick and pray for people and whatever. He never said, you will always be successful and it will always work to, you know, to perfection. And God does not expect perfection out of us, Nan. He expects us to be sincere and honest, and he expects us when we fail to say, God, I failed miserably at that commitment I made to you.
I think in all this, what you were saying, he looks upon the heart.
He does.
He looks upon the heart. What is the motive? Is the motive so that I can get attention?
Right.
Is the motive just because, well, I think that's what I should do? You know, but when he leads you to do things, you know, we need to do them. When we don't, then we feel bad.
Right.
But we can just ask his forgiveness and move forward. You know, sometimes people get bogged down in the reality that they didn't complete what they were supposed to complete.
Right.
And instead of moving forward,
right,
they beat themselves up over it when that's not what God wants. He just wants you to, okay, yeah, you know, Lord, I blew it. I really messed up. I didn't take care of that. But, you know, I'm going to go forward in you and to move forward. And you learn a lot while you're going through that, you know, through that part. You're like, okay, I learned that you know, I didn't complete this task, but I'm going to complete the next task that right. he gives me. Because, you know, I mean, the bottom line, we love him and we want to right. please him. I mean, it's like when you have someone significant in your life, you want to make them happy.
Sure.
You know, you're not responsible for their happiness. Let's put right. that in there.
Right.
But you want to do things to express your love for them.
Right.
And that's the same way we are with God. When the things that we want to do things to express our love for him. You can't buy his love. That's
right.
not it. But just because you love them,
right.
him, you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you love them and you want to please the Godhead.
Amen. And truth is all about honesty. We're going to talk more about that on the other side of this song, What Faith Can Do by the group Colors. I like this.
Everybody falls sometimes. Gotta find the strength to rise from the ashes and make a new beginning. Anyone can feel the ache. You think it's more than you can take, but you're stronger, stronger than you know. Don't you give up now. The sun will soon be shining. You gotta face the clouds to find the silver lining. I've seen dreams that move the mountains. Hope that doesn't ever end. Even when the sky is falling. I've seen miracles just happen. Broken hearts become brand new. That's what faith can do. It doesn't matter what you've heard. Impossible is not a word. It's just a reason for someone not to try. Everybody's scared to decide to take that step out on the water, but it'll be alright. Life's so much more than what your eyes are seeing. You will find your way if you keep believing. I've seen dreams that move the mountains. Hope that doesn't end.
Like that song. That's one we don't play that often, but I really like it. That's what faith can do. Because so often, Angel, we just get so bogged down with the details of our lives. And Jesus says very clearly here in John 14:6, I am, meaning he is, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He has the way that you're going to be able to work whatever it is going on in your life. He's got the wisdom. He knows the direction. And he knows the truth about it. And a lot of times we are so easily, conned is the word I'm looking for, by the deception of sometimes people around us and sometimes just by the devil really working overtime on our minds to bring anxiety and fear. And what if this happens? And then what if that happens? And we can't rest when we are not full of faith, when we are not trusting God, it's hard to rest. The devil brings that unrest and that unease and that anxiety. And wow, that's... Jesus wants to us to realize he's the way to that truth, you know?
Absolutely. And, you know, that's such a huge distraction. You know, the devil can distract us when he sends us things to worry about or to send us these lies or those lies. And we spend all this energy into the distraction that we're not putting that energy into the way, the truth,
right,
and the life. And
right,
we have to be able to recognize this is a distraction. You know,
oh,
it's not my will. It's his will. It's not my ways. It's his ways. It's not my strength. It's his strength. And I just need to keep believing, even in the storm, even through obstacles, even when my strength fails. It is about my faith and trust in him.
It really is. And Jesus, some of you out there may be saying, "Ma, you're talking a lot about the devil. What about your own mind and your own tensions?" That's what the devil uses, mm-hmm, against us. Jesus is the one that pointed out the devil's reality. And in John chapter 8, in verse 31, it says this. Jesus turned to the Jews who had claimed to believe in him, and he said, "If you stick with this, living out what I tell you, you are my disciples for sure. Then you will experience for yourselves the truth, and the truth will set you free." Okay? Then down in about verse 42 of John chapter 8, Jesus begins to talk about the devil. Maybe it's verse 43 or 4. He says the devil, he's talking about people who really are just, you know, they've been taken over with their mind by all this influence. And he says the devil was a killer from the very start. He couldn't stand the truth because there wasn't a shred of truth in him. And then Jesus goes on to explain the devil's work. When the liar speaks, he makes it up out of his lying nature and fills the world with lies. And he said, "I arrive on the scene," meaning Jesus, "I tell you the plain truth, and you refuse to have a thing to do with me." And then he's going on, he goes, "Anyone on God's side listens to God's words." And the word he used for devil there is the Greek word diabolos, and it sounds like the Spanish word diablo, which means devil. It means the adversary, the slanderer, and the accuser, okay? The devil is real, people. If this is news to you, just listen on, okay? Because even though the devil is real, and there is good in this world and there is evil, would we all agree with that? Not everybody's good, and of course not everybody's evil. But there are evil actions, right? There are sometimes people do really bad things to other people. Murder, all kinds of things, right? And there's also good, there are evil and good, you know? And God calls himself our good, good father. God does not set out to lie to you. He will not do that. God does not set out to ruin you or to lead you astray. God is truth. Jesus, it said, remember John 1:14, Jesus, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's who Jesus is. That's who God is, full of God's grace for each of us, full of truth. And then for those out there maybe that are going, "Man, you're just talking about the devil a lot," it's because the devil is these things Jesus said, that he is a slanderer, and he is constantly trying to hurt you, hurt your reputation. He's also the adversary, the accuser. He comes to accuse you. He comes to be against you, and you want to live in peace and joy and comfort, and the devil comes and goes, let me give you these 15 things to worry about today. You know, that doesn't come from God. God doesn't do that.
Well, you know, you say we're speaking a lot about the devil. There are times we need to do that to recognize the enemy of our soul.
We do.
You know, in office situations, you know, you can have someone who's so sweet and nice to you,
right,
in front of you, and they just love you and they just,
right,
care about you. But in reality, they're backstabbing you with,
sure,
the supervisor, with coworkers, and you don't recognize that.
Right.
You know, at some point you may begin to recognize that. And I don't want to call people enemies against people, but that's kind of, they're acting like they're the enemy because right. of the way they're, so we need to recognize that Satan is the adversary, and he doesn't want what's best for us. He doesn't care about us. He just wants to see us fall. He wants to see us.
He does,
you know,
yeah.
Not do what we're supposed to do.
He wants us to live in chaos. And, you know, there's a big difference. Have you ever sat across the table from someone, and you can tell, they like peace, you know? They want peace. They don't want to have everything stirred up and live in turmoil and chaos. And then you've been in the presence of people who love chaos and love to pick a fight. Angel, talk to me about the difference there, because it's real. This is real human behavior.
Oh, my goodness, yes. You know, there are just some people that just is all about the chaos and the drama and the problems. And, you know, they're the kind of people that when we're with them, they kind of suck the life out of the room or the table or the dinner. And
You
leave there and you just feel emotionally drained and exhausted.
Right.
And, you know, they're always looking for the problem. And then there are people that, you know, they just have this peace about them.
Yes.
And, you know, yes, there's a problem, but they're looking for the solution or the positive
right.
and not choosing to just keep telling everybody the problem.
Right.
They're choosing, you know, to take it to the throne and not the phone.
Oh, can we quote you on that? Take it to the throne. That means the throne of God, right? And not the phone.
And, you know, so many of our problems, people can't solve our problems. And not to say we can't talk about things, but we have to, have we taken it to the throne?
Right.
You know, and it's really important, you know, and we should be seeking peace. We
Boy,
should
I
be
like that.
Seeking to be the peace.
Yeah. Seek peace and pursue it, it says in Psalms. And, you know, that's something we should be looking for. A committed marriage or partnership or whatever you want to call it works best when both parties are seeking peace, don't you think, Nan?
Yes, I can think of my marriage, and
oh.
neither one of us sought peace, and it
right.
was, our household was very chaotic. You know, was very negative, was very, you know, nasty with each
right.
other because, you know, we both weren't seeking peace at the same time.
Well, a lot of people want to win, okay, and a lot of people they will make a mountain out of a molehill. And make that problem so huge that that's all they can talk about, that's all they can think about. And the more they do that, the less people want to be around them and hear that over and over and over again. Right, Angel?
Oh, yes. It just sucks the life out of everything when people just get on that chaos bandwagon, and we got to stop it.
Right.
And we have that control. You know, very few things we have control in our life. This is one of them. I am going to choose to be that person of peace. I am going to choose to seek peace.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I thought of
go
something.
Ahead. Go ahead.
It came from many years ago. We have some really good friends. My husband and I, we have some very good friends, very dear friends to us. And we spend a lot of time with them. Well, they were having problems with their teenage son. So the decision was made to let him live with us, to pull him out of the situation. He had two siblings, and there were just a lot of issues, and he had problems with parents and all that kind of stuff. So he was going to live with us for a while. We had a spare bedroom, and he could do whatever he wanted to do in our home. He moved back home because our home was so chaotic.
Really?
He decided that his home was better off to be in than our home. That speaks loudly about the chaos that was going on
wow.
in our home.
Right. Doesn't it? Wow. Wow. And because of that, I mean, how did that make you feel? I mean,
it made me feel pretty bad.
Right. Yeah. I'm just thinking of Philippians 4:6, and I just turned to it in the NIV translation. I'm also going to read it in the Message Bible. And it says this in the New Testament, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. Whoa. How hard is that to live? Okay. But in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There was a lot, I felt very strongly this morning in our service at Beacon. The Lord was saying, stop being fearful, people. Stop being anxious and worried, and let peace really reign in your minds, in your hearts, in your homes, in your car, in your job. Oh, talk to me about that, Angel. And what does that do for us versus chaos? And when we get so upset about things that we get our blood pressure raised and all that kind of thing, Dr. Angel?
Oh, my goodness. Putting on my doctor hat. Yeah, when we sit in that anxiety, which is like one of the number one mental health issues across America.
Right, it is.
So, you know, the masses are experiencing this, especially in our culture today. And it is. It's giving us long-term negative effects. It's making us in a higher risk for cardiovascular disease and certain types of cancers and autoimmune deficiency disorders. We get sick more often because of worry and anxiety that we are carrying.
It's the truth. And Jesus said here, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, which means that he's got promises. He really, really has promises in his word that pertain to whatever it is you're going through. And we've got to get it down on the inside of us that God is greater. My dad passed out these little cards for years and years and years. I don't know, from the time I was a little kid, where he got them, I don't know, some bookstore. And you, the people around Beacon all have one. God is greater than any problem I have. And then it's got 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And when we get that mindset working on the inside of us, hey, the voice of truth is God's greater than this problem. God can work this out when I can't figure out a way out of this. And where I'm listening to all my anxious thoughts, there's a verse in Psalm 145, I think it says, when my anxious thoughts multiply within me, then I run to you. Okay? When. It's not if they ever do, because they do. We live in a world where anxiety is a common problem. Right, Nan? Talk about that before we go to the song.
Yes, we do. And people, we need to keep our eyes on God.
Right.
We need to get in the Word.
Yes.
We need to find scripture that applies to, is applicable to the situations that we're facing, and just meditate on them and memorize them and spend time in them.
Right.
And we would have less anxiety, and it would just basically go away if we do that with the Word of God. That's what the Word of God is there for. Is many reasons why the Word of God is there. One of them is to help us with our anxiety level. You know,
absolutely.
And there again, the anxiety is chaos.
Right.
You know, so who's the author of chaos?
And the devil wants us running around like we have our hair on fire, right? Running around from one crisis to the next. You ever been around somebody that no matter what they pull up to order out of the drive-thru, it's not good enough, it's not right, it doesn't, you know, on and on and on. The devil does this kind of stuff to all of us to try to keep us upset, Angel. He loves us to be upset. The devil does.
Oh, of course, because first of all, they're toxic emotions when we stay upset. And second of all, it distracts us from the truth.
The truth. There's that T word again today, right?
Yeah, it keeps us so distracted and so chaotic that we're not seeking truth, that we're not spending time with God, that we're not praising and praying and having Thanksgiving. We're just so distracted.
So let me ask you both a question. Can God take away your anxiety?
Yes, if we want him to.
Oh, that's a good answer, because why would we not want him to?
Because we're stupid.
No.
I'm teasing. Some people thrive off the chaos.
Yeah, they get attention, right?
They like Angel said, go to the throne instead of the phone. They call, you know, 20 of their closest friends.
Sure,
and then post it on social media.
There you go.
We call them crisis junkies.
Okay, there you go.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that the word for them?
Yes.
Crisis junkies.
Yes, because they do. They thrive off the brain chemicals that get released from having crisis. The time.
I see from time to time on Facebook, somebody will say, I am so depressed, I don't know what I'm going to do to myself. Oh, well, that is an invitation for everybody to say, oh, what's wrong?
Yes, and get attention.
Exactly, right? Not that we're not saying, I mean, that was a triple negative or whatever that was. We're not saying that we should not reach out for help. No. But we're saying that when we're using situations in our lives that could have answers if we would go to God and find out how great God is in your situation. but we want the attention from it. There's something very wrong with that, Angel.
There is. And, you know, we have to be willing to humble ourselves and lay our anxieties at his feet. We have to be willing to believe truth over lies.
We got to believe that our God is bigger than our situation. Okay? Yeah. Our God is bigger than our situation. Joel Osteen said a long time ago, I wrote it in my Bible a long time ago when I heard it, we got to stop telling our problems. Wait a minute. Yeah, I got it right here. How big our problems are. Instead, we need to start telling, we need to stop telling God how big our problems are, and we need to start saying to our problems, you have no idea how big my God is. How great is our God? Love this by Chris Tomlin. Apply this to your life, dear listeners.
The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
How great is our God.
Oh, he is, he is, he is. And that's the truth. And we're talking about Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The truth is that God is greater than any problem you have or will have. And we're going back to Philippians 4:6, and I'm in the Message Bible now. If you want a translation that's going to be the way we talk today, this is what I teach out of a lot, the Message Bible, because it helps you understand exactly what was meant here. And it says in Philippians 4:6, don't fret or worry. My, oh my, that sentence is only four words long, Nan. Don't fret or worry. We're told not to do this, right? Instead of worrying, pray. There's another four-word sentence right here in Philippians 4:6. I'm going to repeat those. Don't fret or worry. Next sentence, instead of worrying, pray. Instead of worrying, pray. Why would we pray? Well, we're only going to pray if we believe that God is greater than any problem I have. If we believe the truth that God says, take all those issues to me, bring them to me. Instead of worrying, pray, and let the petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Tell him what they are. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness or peace. Everything coming together for good will come and settle you down. This is the end of verse 7 of Philippians 4. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. God's been speaking this all day to those of us at Beacon and in our service this morning. God wants to displace worry, anxiety, fear, and he wants to put his truth right there where all this has been hanging out. We're going to talk a lot more about this in our second hour. We're going to get into more detail about truth. And if this is the first time you've joined us on Living the Good Life, you can find tons of shows. I mean tons, 500 and some, on our website, www.bohmglobal.com. That's what our website is for the ministry. www.bohm stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries, bohmglobal.com. A lot of our shows are right there, and a lot of them have titles. And right here on tantalknetwork.com, go to podcasts and go to the name of this show, Living the Good Life, for other shows that are here on podcast form, a ton of them also. And it's a good way when you're in the middle of the night. Nan, you used to say this. You want to make that point because you've done this many times and you can't sleep.
Well, you can't sleep. Get up and listen to a show.
Turn it on.
And it's interesting what happens because Satan doesn't like you listening to a show.
No, so.
You eventually fall asleep before you finish the show because you're getting the word in you in the middle
right.
of the night.
And the devil doesn't like you to do that, right? So check out those podcasts. Dr. Angel and I have a show every Thursday night at 6:06 p.m. Dr. Angel, what's that all about?
That is our life coaching show called Go Yard, and where we just are helping our listeners hit those home runs in life and learning
right.
to live their life and not just kind of exist.
Right. Hitting home runs in life. Right now we're in a series entitled Red Flag Blindness or Blind Man's Bluff. And it's all about the red flags and relationships that we so often refuse to see. We're on part 3 this week, so check it out with us, Dr. Angel and me, my other name, Mama Mac, Thursday night, 6:06 p.m. I also do a Facebook post about once every week or two. Probably going to be doing one this week on Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday, as the Lord leads. And you can go to my post, Marcia McAllister post, or go to Beacon of Hope Ministries posts, and you'll find those there. They're short, usually somewhere between 12 and 17 minutes, teaching a practical concept that will help you on Facebook Live. Or if I'm on Facebook with you, you'll see it pop up probably that I'm on live. So it's usually in the morning of one of those days. And our prayer line, it's free, of course, for anybody to use. Just send an email to prayers@bohmglobal.com. And with your prayer request, and we've got a large team that prays for those needs, and we see so many answers to prayer. The praise reports this morning.